Welcome to the Extra Sauce Podcast.
It's my fancy sauce.
I want some fancy sauce.
Yeah.
I'm not done using it.
With the czar of sauces, Greg Hill.
A little controversy on the sauce this week, Mr. Shue.
Oh, yeah. Big controversy.
Everybody's been talking all week about Native American imagery and symbols with regard to our sports teams here in the Commonwealth and our elected officials who are very, very busy. They were able to carve out a little bit. Is that a bad? I don't want to do any.
No,
bad
I think
imagery.
You're good.
They were able to. They were able to carve out.
You know, if you're talking about turkey,
yeah. They were able. Well, no. Then you get into the first Thanksgiving thing.
Oh, jeez. Can I not just mention food?
Yeah.
In an innocent way.
They were able to carve out some time to discuss whether there should be a law which bans all Native American nicknames and imagery from our school sports teams. And, of course, I am well known as a legendary high school athlete from this region. So
Somebody fact check that, please?
I went to Neshoba Regional High School in Bolton, Massachusetts, and that school was created in the early 1960s. And they chose as the nickname for their sports teams the Chieftains. And that's my history. So that's my, and we're talking, granted, it's not hundreds of years of history, but I am old. It's 40.
Half a century.
It's 40 something years of history. And so when I hear somebody say to me, we need to erase all of that history, I'm kind of bothered by that because I wasn't there when they chose the name. My guess is that they didn't choose the name to deride Native Americans. I think they chose it to because the region where Neshoba is, Stowe, Bolton, and Lancaster, was a region where there was a Neshoba tribe that was there, and they wanted to. That's the history of the Commonwealth. I mean,
right.
We talked about this on the show this week. But the name Massachusetts is a Native American name. It's from the what do we talk about? The Merrimack,
Algonquin.
Algonquin. It's an Algonquin word. Our state symbol is a Native American. So, I hate the fact that we have to run around constantly because somebody is offended by something and change. Decades, or in many cases, hundreds of years of history. We talked about this on the show. There's horrible things that have happened in history, but you can't, because they were horrible. You can't just erase them from your mind and never talk about them. I mean,
it's about intent.
Yeah,
you kind of touched on that earlier.
Yeah,
the Neshoba Chieftains. I don't believe there was any intention to, deliberately offend. Or discriminate against anyone.
Only when I was on the basketball court was it deliberately offensive to many to athletes everywhere.
Look, fat shaming is a whole other issue that we can take on in another show.
Yes, yes.
But yeah, it's about intent. But at the same time, here are the people that have a very terrible history in this country, at least for the past couple hundred years.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that's something that brings up that history or represents that history to them, don't you think you should have some consideration there?
I don't want to be mean and like be rude. But there's the problem with imagery is that it's just that, it's imagery, and people view it based on their own prism is. So to broadly define something as offensive when it may be viewed by others in a complimentary way, I mean, it's kind of like, so I guess what you're saying is if you're a Native American and we're going to talk to Love Richardson, who is the spokesperson for the Nipmuc tribe on this episode of Extra Sauce. She's a council member and a tribal clerk from the Nipmuc Nation Tribal Council, and she's ready to talk to us here in a minute. But I guess, is it fair to say that in some cases the imagery is okay. Like, for instance, if you go to Mohegan Sun,
right,
they use Native American imagery there.
Right.
That's okay, but those of you who have had it as a part of your history with regard to Neshoba Regional High School, you're not allowed to use it because, yeah, but, it, you know, I, so. But
Mohegan Sun, they are Native Americans, the people
right,
who
I'm
run
not,
that place.
I know, I'm not. I'm not. Right. So I don't, yeah.
You know, I don't. Is tell me if this is a wrong analogy. Okay, so when you say imagery, and that's exactly what it is, it's just imagery. But, you know, what if someone wanted to use a swastika?
Well, yeah.
It's still very powerful
some
people.
Yeah, no, I know. If they did that, but they didn't do, I mean, those things are, like, those examples are always something that nobody's ever done, you know?
Right, like, that's true. When you're saying imagery, some people see a swastika and maybe they're like, okay, yeah, that's bad or whatever. And some people see it and it's just, this is the most horrible thing in the world.
Of course, yeah.
And well, so, you know, maybe on their side, that's how they see that.
And I think the interesting thing is that you hear from time to time Native Americans who are divided themselves on this issue.
Right.
For instance, during the testimony at the State House this week, and we played it on the show, there were several Native Americans who feel honored by the choice of these symbols and these nicknames. So, but I think, you know, one thing that I do want to do is, rather than have some sort of a soccer mom social justice warrior from Tewksbury lead the charge on this, I thought it was important on Extra Sauce that we actually spoke with a Native American, and we are delighted to have Love Richardson as our guest on Extra Sauce.
Good morning, and thank you.
What a great name, by the way.
Thank you.
Do people make all kinds of, like, when did they start doing puns like Love Walked In when you walk into a movie or into a meeting and things like that?
It's definitely a conversation starter.
Yeah, I bet it is. I bet it is. Well, there's been an ongoing debate here over the Massachusetts legislature and the bill they proposed to eliminate Native American nicknames and symbols from our school sports programs. And I'm wondering how you feel about that.
My view on Native American imagery definitely... my stance is that there needs to be a lot of education in the Commonwealth. I have been following a lot of the news and the articles that have been written, and I've been reading more so of the comments on social media about how people of the Commonwealth feel about that. And I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about why these names, where they derive from, where these images came from. And I feel like a lot of it is a generalized depiction of stereotypes of Native American people. The tomahawks, the face paint, the war-type savagery with the facial expressions and things like that is not an appropriate depiction of who we are as a people. There are over 500 nations in the United States, and not all of us wear headdresses. Not all of us carry tomahawks. Not all of us wear face paint. So I really think that this is a great opportunity for education, and I also think that those who say that they're honoring our culture need to understand that we are the most has been discriminated against with this imagery. And so I think that there's a huge opportunity for education here. And I love that this has generated a lot of thought.
Do you believe that in the majority of cases, those images, those nicknames were chosen to deride Native Americans or to honor Native Americans or to pay tribute to Native Americans?
I honestly feel as if these were... stereotypes to desensitize our culture. So I think that, for instance, this is a different example, the Disney Pocahontas, that was to kind of symbolize sexuality for Indian women as English royalty and superior over other tribes within our nation, you know, within Indian country. So the depiction of that imagery is just a centralized depiction of who indigenous women are. So I think that you have to really look back to the history and the, and how different imagery came about. For instance, the I think it is the there's a town seal in I believe Webster, and it is of the King Philip's era, and that is, if you look at that seal, it takes out of context what happened during that time period. Mm-hmm. And to me, it depicts us as savages going to attack a township where, as we were actually peaceful people, mm-hmm. and we were being colonized at that time. So there's more into these images. There's a story behind them. And I think unless that story is told, people are thinking that this is honoring us when it's not.
What about, like, you know, the example that, that I know most is the high school that I went to in Bolton, Neshoba, and the team that my kids play for that that I rode the bench for in basketball is the Neshoba Chieftains. And so isn't, I guess when I, my issue with this is that's my history and that's my family's history. And the unless you can tell me otherwise, it seems like that that name Chieftain was chosen to represent a strong person and a person who did well and triumphed. You know, so is it, does it need to be, first of all, do you agree or disagree or have a different perspective on that? And then does it need to be on a case-by-case basis with some of these names and some of these symbols?
So I don't know what the image looks like, but just from the name, the Chieftain, not all nations call their leaders chiefs. So that's a very, that's a stereotypical term. We didn't refer to ourselves as chiefs. That's what we were given as far as a name from the colonists. We are not all chiefs, and there's female leaders as well, so they're not considered chiefs. And the second part of your question about, if you could repeat that.
Yeah, well, my question was, there are certainly things that I think, if you take a look at this debate beginning in Tewksbury and the team being called the Red Men, that that to me is something that is obviously can be considered by many to be offensive. But there are other, you know, I look at Chieftain or you know, and again, if Chieftain wasn't something that was that that you internally used to describe each other, then it's not really even, as we look at it now, an accurate thing, or it's not even based on a stereotype because it didn't exist. So it should, is this law too overreaching when it says we must ban all of those related nicknames and symbols?
No, I don't believe that it's overreaching. I do think that there are different things that you can use within our culture to honor us. We are doctors, we are clan mothers, we are, we have children, we are builders, the Mohawks are iron workers. There's different symbols that can be used to represent our culture in a respectful and proud way. But across the board, as we look at these images, they don't depict us and who we are as a people. So I do believe that you can use different symbols within Indian country to depict us in a way that shows a better light on us, and it allows our youth to be proud of who they are. not all natives have red skin or are brown. Some of us are very fair. We come in all shades mm-hmm. and all colors. And so I do think that there is a way to have imagery of us as a people that can be something to be looked up and honored and to have our youth not be so chastised or go to a school and hear certain names and derogatory things that lower their self-esteem.
What is okay? So we're talking about specifically, you know, school mascots, but then what about, you know, the name of the state, Massachusetts, or the names of some towns or bodies of water, hills, mountains, mm-hmm. streets, things like that? I mean, what's okay and what isn't okay?
For example, the Nipmuc people, we are the freshwater people. I do not think that there would be, I think that asking and coming to that nation, into our nation, and asking for us to create a symbol that represents the freshwater, because it is within our homelands, and I think honoring us in that way, it would be good. But I think that I can't speak for my entire nation, but if people were to come to the tribes within the nation that these symbols are in, that there are positive imagery that can be amplified. For instance, having like a leetu someplace, those are pictures of teepees, and we all don't live in teepees, but in Massachusetts homelands, we lived in a leetu. So having things that represent positive imagery, I think, is fair. As far as a high school, for instance, we have locations like there's a place in Mashpee called Great Rock, and that was a place where people would go and honor and pray. So there's definitely things that you can take out and you can put in the high schools. But I think that also, if that was added to a curriculum, people would understand and have a better understanding of this imagery and what it really means. I know that when I was in school some 20-plus years ago, I did not learn anything about Native American culture other than the savagery, which is also amplified in a lot of these imagery. So if they added this to the curriculum and allowed Native people to tell their own story instead of somebody else having it in these images, then that would help. I think the education is important when it comes to this legislation because there's so many people that don't know. Now, the state of Massachusetts is also the name of a people of this homeland. So I think that, to me, having the state be called Massachusetts is appropriate, in my opinion.
Is there a danger when it comes to history that if you start erasing things like this because they may be words that were chosen at a different period of time or symbols that were chosen at a different period of time, that you, as a Native American culture, lose your history and the rest of us lose a part of our history as well?
In my opinion, no. I don't think that there is a negative effect with I think it adds to history. Native Americans have not been able to tell their own story. We've always had other people tell our story for us. And also, we also believe in, you know, not all of our history is through, is documented. A lot of it is through spoken word, through languages, stories that have been handed down through our sachems, our Sagamores, our clan mothers, our elders, and so allowing Native American people to tell their own story, I think is a benefit, because most of the history books that I look at and things that are documented capture only a portion of the truth, and it's usually through the eyes of the non-Natives.
You know, you were talking about education earlier, and what has... I don't know, maybe you only know about the Nipmuc Nation because that's, you know, that's your nation. What have you guys done to, you know, have you appealed to the state government? Have you appealed to the Board of Education to incorporate more of that? Have you guys made efforts to do that?
As far as the Nipmuc Nation, no, but I did spend some time in the Northwest. And as you may or may not know, the state of Oregon has chosen to ban Native American imagery in high schools. and I was a part of that. And they also have begun with a curriculum in the high schools to start incorporating Native American history. I was also a board member of Wisdom of the Elders, which is known throughout Indian country, and it's elders from all over. And what they do is they are recorded and they tell stories from different tribes, different cultures, and different areas of the United States. So I personally have been a part of introducing curriculum into academics. So hopefully as legislation starts to be called out and there's a cry for change, that can be something that can start in Massachusetts as well.
Is
definitely happening all over Indian country.
Is that something that maybe could be, I don't know if compromise is the right word, so say a high school incorporates more education about Native Americans in their curriculum, is that way they can maybe keep a name like the Chieftains if they are able to teach more about that any other a name?
How about every other, definitely any other name, but the Chieftains is highly offensive. And with that...
why is that highly offensive?
It's highly offensive because we are not all chiefs, and it's an imagery that is fantasized with the big headdress and face paint. And through history, even with the Buffalo Bill show, the tour that used to go around Europe, there's always this chief with this big fake headdress. And the imagery has also fallen over to fashion, where people are wearing headdresses. Headdresses is something of honor. It's something you gain through merit within a tribe. And it's also been a huge symbol for the word chief, which not every tribe has a chief. There's so many layers to the word chief that is unrealistic in today's society that will define how it is offensive to many Indian people.
But did and this is just for my edification, did tribes have a chief?
Yeah, and they also were called sachems and sagamores as well. So
okay.
That's like the English interpretation, the English word for it.
Okay. So if
there's
like,
certain words that you cannot translate, and so that is the English word for that. But then what, there's like the chief of police.
Right.
There's the chief of the fire department. So what you guys, what other folks call, and I mean, as far as you guys, I mean non-Native people,
mm-hmm.
call chiefs and what we call a chief, there's two different definitions, and I don't think that you can really carry one over into the other.
There is a team, at least one in Massachusetts, I think, that is named the Sachems. Would that be okay with you?
I would definitely need to know how that was derived, the imagery, and... It's just a definition, you know. It's a tribal leader. It's there's a difference between political bodies and cultural bodies within a nation. And chiefs definitely they worked with our medicine people. They worked in leadership, and not necessarily current day in politics.
Hmm.
So it doesn't really fit for. Every nation and every tribe. For nations, we're tribes, we're bands, and we're not all alike. For instance, the Mohicans are different from the Nipmunks. We're very close in proximity, but we're different. We have our own way of doing things. The same with the Wampanoags and the Narragansetts. We're very similar, but we're all very, very different and unique. And to generalize a name like that to what it means to each nation is very unfair.
So what about something, a name like the Warriors?
Again, we're not all warriors.
Okay. All right. Is it more of like a name paired with an image, too? Is that a major factor?
That emphasizes, and that can, you know, what we see with our eyes and what's interpreted are two different things.
Hmm.
So
you
can see something and interpret all kinds of things, but then once you know what it's called, it may take on a different meaning. So So I believe that does.
We will see what happens as this legislation continues to be debated, and it's been very interesting. I don't know that it's hard because I don't know that I'm not going to have the same perspective on this that you do. So it's difficult, but it's been interesting to talk about it with you, love.
Yeah, I appreciate your honesty. I do understand that there is a huge gap of understanding. I am not French, so I could not understand different cultural things of the French people. You know, and who am I to tell them or someone who's Kenyan, you know, about their own culture or what image fits their culture?
Mm. Good point. You're actually making me think, which I don't change my mind very often.
Yeah, that's
but
very
I'm actually,
tough to do, love.
It's if you were here, you'd see smoke coming out between my ears, love. All right. Well, it's been great hearing your perspective, a little extra sauce on the debate here in Massachusetts on Native American nicknames and symbols with regard to our high school sports teams. So thank you very much for being a part of Extra Sauce.
Yes, thank you for giving me a voice and allowing me to weigh in on this. The whole legislation, the bill, is such a wonderful thing because it's generating conversation.
Yeah.
Which is very, very powerful.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
I thought for sure you were going to play top 40 hit Cherokee people, Cherokee Greg. Nation, Cherokee people there. But
Greg.
Did you decide that was not
we're
the right?
A, this is a serious discussion.
Not the right imagery? Listen, she makes some great points. As I said, she has a chance of changing my mind. That's a slight chance, but that's better than it was going into it.
That's pretty hard to do, as I mentioned before, to change Greg's mind on anything.
I'm stubborn. I'm old and I'm stubborn, Chew. I'm set in my ways.
Right. Right. I think that may be, from what I've read and heard in the news of late, one of the most civil discussions on this subject I think I've ever heard. I'm not trying to pat myself or you, you know, on the back. I think it was just that was a very calm discussion.
She makes
she gave examples.
She makes some great points, and I don't know that look, when it comes to mascots, there's probably there's no group of people who want to be portray or would consider it a compliment to be portrayed as a mascot. I mean, unless it was done in some amazingly complimentary manner or something like
that. Well, another big example is the Fighting Irish.
Yes, right.
You know,
right. But as an Irish guy, I'm not offended by that. I don't believe the intent was to say that that Irish guys or gals are violent. I think the intent was to say, "Wow, there's a strong Sorry. People." What?
Are you referring to yourself?
I wear glasses.
Irish guys with glasses. That should be the mascot.
It is a fact that I cannot fight because if I didn't have glasses, I'd be a brawler. I would be. But listen, interesting food for thought, as they say.
Yeah.
When it comes to love and to her opinions on the bill here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. And that's going to do it for Extra Sauce this week. Thank you very much for listening. A reminder, so you don't forget and miss an episode of Extra Sauce, just subscribe. You can subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play. And we'll be back next week with another episode of Extra Sauce.